We talked about the Holy Spirit's personal empowerment plan. We talked about his development plan last week, but we're talking about the Holy Spirit personal empowerment plan. So let's look at two prophecies. Let's go back to Joel. Let's go back to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and let's walk our way and understand this. As scripture says, and it shall come to pass, just Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. We put it up on the monitor so we can move through. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out. Notice the words that I got highlighted. I will pour out my spirit. Now notice the words upon all flesh. Notice it says upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So here is a prophetic utterance concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn that this outpouring is called other things. It's called being filled with the Spirit. It's called the outpouring of the Spirit. It's called baptized with the Spirit. It's called receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this is a prophecy, and notice God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and notice the words upon. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and notice what's connected to this experience. Prophecy, dreams, visions. Those are supernatural signs connected to this experience. So right away we see that this experience, this outpouring of the Spirit of God, should usher us into a supernatural lifestyle. Not just a personal experience, but it should usher us into a supernatural lifestyle. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 3, and let's see, John here was a prophet, and he gave a prophecy in Matthew chapter 3, and notice what it says in verse 11. Before we look at that, remember, Joel says, upon all flesh, right? If you were here last week, Ezekiel says, 36, Ezekiel says, I'm going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to put my spirit within you. So we talked about within, the Holy Spirit within. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit upon the believer. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. John is speaking, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, now listen at this, John says, he, Jesus, he's referring to Jesus. He said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he's prophesying here. John is prophesying about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So let's look now in Hebrews chapter 6. I see you taking notes, but I also like for you to go back and look at this because you need to understand it yourself. Get beyond the experience of it and understand what's going on here. So let's look at Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now it says, and of the doctrine of what? Baptism. Doctrine of what?
Baptism.
The doctrine of baptism. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, there are the fundamental doctrines of Christ. One day we'll talk about that. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, laying on of hands. These are the fundamental doctrines of Jesus Christ. Now notice one of those fundamental doctrines is the doctrine of baptisms. And if you notice there, the word baptism is plural. Right? You notice that the word baptism is plural. Doctrine means the teaching or principles of baptism. The word baptized simply means to dip in or put into. Dip in or put into. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So we see in Scripture that there is a doctrine of baptisms, plural, which implies there's more than one baptisms. Now, here's a statement that I'm going to make, but I know it's debatable. I know it's debatable, but the principle of it, it'll be a blessing for you. There are three primary baptisms available to every person. Every person. three baptisms available to every person. I'll give you an overview of them, and then we're going to come back and look at each one of them. There is the baptism of, O-F, the Holy Spirit. And remember, Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is synonymous. Ghost simply means old English. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with water, and baptism with the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with water, and baptism with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in these 3 weeks, I'm going to be able to answer some questions for you that I believe is going to bring great clarity to you, not only if you're seeking, but also when you're discussing it. Okay, when you're talking, you'll be able to answer people's questions. Now, notice the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, for by one spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Let me ask you a question. You got to do it real quick because I got a lot of information to cover. Got to answer real quick. The Bible said by one spirit, we are baptized into one body. Let me ask you a question. Who is the baptizer in this verse? Who is the baptizer? Y'all looking like I did in that cost accounting class, man, when I didn't know the answer. Who is the baptizer? The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. Notice what it says, for by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this baptism is positional. Come on, say positional. Okay. This baptism takes place at the new birth. It takes place when you invited Jesus Christ into your life. When you invited Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit baptized or put you into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is worldwide. It's global. Okay. So in Columbus, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God put you into the body of Christ. In Birmingham, when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Holy Spirit put me into the body of Christ. So this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It takes place at the new birth. Now, this is the baptism that Paul was referring to when he said one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, Paul says, one faith and one what? One what? Okay, but notice now that almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Because Hebrews 6:2 says doctrinal baptisms, plural. But Paul here says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So what Paul is talking about is that there's one baptism that introduces you into the body of Christ. There's one baptism that introduced you into the body of Christ, and that is the baptism of, O-F, the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Okay. And any questions you want to ask, you can ask them as we get to the end of it. The second baptism is baptism with water. Let's look at this, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Baptism with water. How many have been baptized with water? Okay. Most of us have been baptized with water. For John truly, Acts 1:5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Two things up there, but let me ask you a question. The baptism with water question, who is the baptizer? Man is the baptizer. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the baptizer. Got it? But water baptism is a man putting you, you're getting in the water, and it's a man dunking you in the water, however you were. I was in the Presbyterian church, and so I've been dunked and sprinkled. Okay, I should have it together. Okay, I've been sprinkled. So however it is, it was a man that performed the function. Okay, listen at this. This baptism is pictorial. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is positional. This baptism is pictorial in that, listen at this, this baptism portrays the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes place after the new birth. It takes place after the new birth. So when you stand in the water, it's symbolic of you being identified with Christ. When they take you under the water, it's symbolic of you dying with Jesus Christ. And when they pull you out of the water, it's symbolic of you being raised with Christ or the resurrection of Christ. So God instituted certain ordinances so we will be reminded of the finished work of Jesus. Communion is a part of that too. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So the public display of people getting water baptized should be a constant picture to the world of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And God instituted that to take place not in order to get saved, but it's evidence that you have made a proclamation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then in obedience to Jesus, you should get water baptized after you're born again. That's the second baptism available. And then the third baptism is up there, is baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's the third baptism, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's the baptizer here? Jesus is the baptizer. Remember what John says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the baptizer, baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's the baptizer. Baptism with water, man is the baptizer. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Bible says, is the baptizer. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, this experience is powerful. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is positional, has to do with your position in Christ. Baptism with water is pictorial. It is a portrait of the finished work of Jesus. And this experience has to do with power. It is powerful. It is powerful. Now, let's look at this. This experience is so very important. Now, listen carefully. It is designated and referred to in different ways. In some cases, it is referred to as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In other instances, it's referred to as being filled with the Spirit. Joel said the outpouring of the Spirit. We're going to see in Acts 2, it talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's basically talking about the same thing. The Holy Spirit falling on the believer is talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, listen at this. This is a definite experience after you get born again. Now, where the confusion comes in, and see, I was a denominational pastor, okay? So I know the positions that people take in this, and the confusion comes in sometimes with the difference between the baptism of the Spirit that takes place at the new birth and the baptism with the Spirit that takes place after the new birth. But I want you to look at a evidence of this initial separate experience of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 8. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, and then we're going to come back and we got to talk about purpose, because we got to get more Christians walking in the purpose of it. We got a lot of Christians, they talk in tongues and they had an experience, and then I found out that many Christians not even praying much in tongues. When I taught 2 weeks recently at church on speaking with tongues, and I had people who had been members a long time, had been filled with the Spirit, but they didn't pray in tongues. And I want to make sure that you understand the value of that, that God is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan. He doesn't just do something, just be doing it. There is some benefit to this experience. Now, look at what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were what? Healed. Now watch this. And there was great joy in the city. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. And we're going to read the rest of it. We're going to go. This man, endued with the power of God, went down and transformed the city. Signs of wonders. Folk were healed. Folk was delivered. Church, that's what we're called to. Okay? We're not called to just have great church services. Okay? We're not called to just have great churches. We're called to transform our community. We're called to transform our cities. And the only way we're going to do that is not going to be just through strategic planning. I believe in strategic planning. It's not going to be just through goal setting. I believe in goal setting. It's going to be through signs and wonders. We're going to have the power of God. Most of the people in this city, Columbus, the same way most of the people in Birmingham do not go to church. Okay, most of the people do not go to church. And most of the people in our cities don't think much of church. Okay, because we look just like them. We act just like the world, and we have no power. We have the potential for power, but we have no power. So we're operating on the level of human reasoning, but we're supposed to, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now my wife said something to me. She said that, Mike, the Bible says that where there's no vision, the people perish. He said, you ain't gonna never perish. My wife said, you ain't gonna never perish. Because I just believe it. I believe God wants us to transform this city. I ain't coming down here to have no church service. I can stay at home and have a church service. I can have a good church service at home. No, we come to transform the city. We come to change the city. We come to have people talking about God. People want to go to church. People seeing something. Well, to see something, they need to see power. They need to see a demonstration. So this guy went down and he ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders were taking place. Now look at what it says in verse 12. I think that's verse 12, the next text. Watch this. Acts 8, and notice what it says in verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Now notice the text. When they what? Believe. They were what? Baptized. Question. Let me ask you a question. Were these people saved? Y'all looking the same way I looked in that cost accounting class. Were these people born again? How do we know it? Okay, is there any other evidence? They were baptized. Isn't that what Jesus says? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now notice what he says. He that believeth and is baptized. Now we know baptism with water does not add anything to salvation, okay? But that's what Jesus told us to do. He told us to believe the gospel, and then as an outward sign of our belief, he told us to get baptized with water. Right? Right? So they believe what he was preaching. He was preaching Jesus, okay? He was preaching the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible said they believed and were baptized, both men and women. Now look at the next verse. Verse 13. And then Simon himself also believed that he was baptized. Now some people think Simon didn't get saved, but I believe Simon got saved also. But listen, just because you get saved don't mean your mind is renewed. Got it? Some people get saved and they still got their flesh. They're trying to get their flesh under. You know what I mean? They have to be trained and developed to get their flesh under. So the Bible says he believed. Now look at the next verse. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received what? The word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. Why send them Peter and John? Because they already saved. Why send them somebody else? They already born again. They don't need nothing else. Look what it says. Who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, here's another designation. That's baptized, filled with the Spirit. receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this does not mean receive the Holy Ghost like he's out here somewhere. These were born again people. The Holy Spirit was on the inside of them. They had never been filled with the Spirit. They had never been baptized with the Spirit. They were born again, but they had not been baptized with the Spirit. Now watch this. Look at this. Let the Bible explain itself. Now I said that, but anybody can say what they want to say. Now watch this. Look at that verse. Let's go back to that verse. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what?
Receive
the Holy Ghost. Now look at the next verse. Now the Bible will interpret itself. For as yet he was what? Fallen. Watch this. Upon what?
None.
Now notice, fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Only they were saved and baptized with water. But the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon them. That's that outpouring of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. So here are people who are saved but had not been baptized with the Spirit. Look at the next verse. And they laid their hands on them and they what? Now that's not receiving the Holy Spirit I hear somewhere, because the moment you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. Got it? The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. So it's not out here somewhere. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you and he's coming upon you. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 1 and let's look at verse 8 and let's talk purpose for a minute. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the experience that we lose sight of the purpose. Okay, what was the purpose of this thing? What is the purpose of us getting filled with the Spirit? Boy, if I can get a bunch of folk understanding purpose, we can turn things upside down. I mean, we can turn it upside down. Look at what it says here. But you shall receive what?
Power.
Come on, say power.
Power.
Come on, say what?
Power.
You receive what? You receive what?
Power.
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 Now notice, you shall receive power after. Not before. You receive power what? After. The Holy Ghost is come what? Not in you, on you. It's already in you. He's already in you at the new birth. But you receive power if he come on you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Okay? Now, let's look at this text and let's examine it. So this baptism is for the operational of supernatural power in your life. That's the whole purpose. If you can feel with the Spirit, is so that you will have supernatural ability. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it. And this word means supernatural ability. It means divine might. It means miracle working energy. So when we get filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, we receive miracle working energy. Divine might, supernatural ability, supernatural power. If you've been filled with the Spirit, you have supernatural power. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle. Don't just settle for a church meeting. Don't settle. Please don't just settle. You have supernatural ability. You have supernatural ability. You have miracle working energy on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. You've been filled with the Spirit. You have the ability. Watch this. For what? What is this purpose? What is the purpose? That you shall be witnesses. That's the purpose of it. You shall what? Didn't say you're going to go to church and have a prayer meeting. It said that you were filled with the Spirit so that you would be a what?
Witness.
Be what? Witness. Talk to me, y'all. What's a witness? Think naturally. What's a witness? What is a witness? What is the purpose of a witness? You've seen something? You heard something? Come on, talk to me. You what?
Verify.
You verifying something? You giving proof to something? Okay, now watch this. Catch this. What are we verifying? What are we giving proof to? What according to that text, what are we verifying? What are we giving proof? What are we giving evidence of? Huh? No. What are we giving proof of? We're furnishing proof. What are we furnishing proof? Huh?
What you've been taught, what you've seen, what you experienced.
No. He said, so that you should be witnesses unto me. You are giving proof of the death and resurrection. You're proving that he's alive. You're furnishing. We're to furnish proof. They can't see Jesus. The world can't see Jesus. He said, but you're going to be my witnesses. He said, I'm going back to my Father, and I want you to provide the world with proof that I'm still alive. And the way you do that is through signs and wonders. When people see you walk in this supernatural ability, then people will know that's not normal. That's the platform that you're supposed to stand on and then share Christ and receive him into the kingdom. The platform is signs and wonders. Because just talking about it, baby, just talking about it. Okay, Jesus alive. No. We're supposed to furnish proof that he's been raised from the dead, that he is alive, that he is resurrected. Now watch this. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. If I could talk to everybody in the church, this is what I'll be telling them. Listen, your assignment is to furnish proof to the world that Jesus has been raised from the dead. That's your assignment, to prove it. Not just tell folk, you're to prove it, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And he said, you will be witnesses unto me. He said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, watch this, in the uttermost part of the world. That's us. That's us. Now look at what it says in Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, watch this, among you by what? Miracles and what? Wonders and signs. So when Jesus came here, he didn't just talk. He demonstrated. He didn't just talk, he demonstrated. And the Bible says he was approved of God. How? By miracles, wonders, and signs. Now watch this. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And now if you get this part, you'll understand the end result of this baptism with the Holy Spirit. The end result is not us having a party. It's not us having a good time. The end result is a supernatural harvest. It's a what? Now look at what it says. Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized the same day they were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. The kingdom is being expanded. It is being expanded because they understood what their assignment was, and they weren't just going to church to get blessed. We'll get blessed, but that wasn't the end result. The end result is us be a blessing. And kingdom expansion is what this baptism with the Holy Spirit is all about. It's about harvest. It's about what? Harvest. It's about what? Harvest. This baptism with the Holy Spirit, if it does not result in harvest, it's just an experience. That's why I said at the very beginning, whatever we receive, we're supposed to give it. If you get saved, your assignment is to get somebody else saved. You get filled with the Spirit, your assignment is to get somebody else filled with the Spirit. You learn about healing, God delivers you. You should be praying, laying hands on folk to be healed. That's the kingdom. That's what this baptism with the Spirit is all about. And the reason why folk ain't interested in it is because we have communicated to them it's an experience. And we've been satisfied with an experience. So no, you got Christians, I don't really need that. The reason they say they don't need it, because they don't see nothing. Anytime you walk in something and really expand the kingdom, people say, yeah, I need that. And anytime you walk and stand in front of somebody and they demonize, listen, they demonize and you know that ain't them. Okay? You need some power. You ain't just raising money for a picnic, okay? You need some power. You need some power. They need the power. Power. Okay? Let me share this with you, and I'm gonna walk you through. I'm running close to my time. Listen at this. To understand that, let me give you some history on it. Let me give you a little history on it, and then you can study this out for yourself. What God did in the Old Testament was types and shadows of New Testament realities. Got it? Okay, now watch this. So there were three Jewish feasts that actually pointed to something in the New Testament. There was the Feast of Passover. Remember where they sacrificed a lamb for a house? That was the Passover feast, and it was a picture of the death of Jesus. That lamb in Exodus 12 was a picture of Jesus. The second feast that they celebrated was the Feast of First Fruits. The priest would take the first harvest that came up, and they would wave it before the Lord, symbolizing that another harvest was coming. Okay, this was the Feast of First Fruits. It was a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus was the first fruit of many other being saved. Does that make sense to you? The third feast was the Feast of Pentecost. This feast was really a picture of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The word Pentecost means 50. It means 50. So listen at this. So 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus would be Pentecost. Okay? So you got 50 days, Jesus raised from the dead. Acts 1:3, we won't turn to it, but Acts 1:3 said that Jesus spent about 40 days, it's in the scripture, Acts 1:3, 40 days teaching them things about the kingdom. They born again. For 40 days, he was teaching them things of the kingdom. So if Pentecost is 50, that means they had 10 more days to wait. So they waited 10 days in the upper room not to get the Holy Spirit to come. They waited 10 days because that's when he was supposed to manifest himself in this dispensation. Does that make sense? 10 days, they were just up there in the upper room, 10 days. Now listen at this, and then after that, 3,000 people got saved, and that's the whole emphasis of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now look at Acts 2:4. Is there anybody have any questions about that? Look at Acts 2:4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, all of them, because that was God's plan. They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we're going to talk about the purpose of tongues. We got two more lessons to deal with this, but we're going to talk about the purpose of tongues and one of those lessons. But notice at the very beginning, everybody who showed up, because there were 500 folk who got saved, 328 didn't show up. 320 didn't show up. But the ones that showed up All of them got filled with the Spirit of God because that was God's plan, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Now, let me ask a question. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Is there anybody you've not been filled with the Spirit but you want to be? Okay. The rest of the way.
I have a question. So is it possible to need to be refilled?
To be refilled?
In other words, can it go away?
No.
Okay.
No. It can't not go away.
Okay.
You can discontinue praying in the Spirit, but it does not go away. Okay. It's funny you asked me that question, because here's what happened to me. I got filled with the Spirit reading a book, The Holy Spirit in You by reading Dennis Bennett. I was in my office. I got filled with the Spirit, and I've spoken other tongues in my office, okay? I didn't understand what had happened and have an understanding. But I would pray in the Spirit from time to time. I pray in the Spirit. And then I was in law school. And in law school, we had a little Christian Bible study. And in that Bible study, a girl said, you know, tongues of the devil. And when she said tongues of the devil, I stopped that praying in tongues. I said, man, I don't want that. Is that the devil? I want the devil. So I stopped praying in tongues. I didn't go back to it until I was assigned to pastor a church. I was pastoring my first church, and the girl, little girl came up to me. I'm the pastor. I ain't having no business pastor of that church, and the man in the moon. But I'm the pastor. A little girl came up to me and said, who is the Holy Spirit? I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I put on my little voice and told her something, kicked her all out of the way. And then I started reading. I said, well, man, I got to read this. So I was reading and reading all these books and stuff like that. And then I found myself so hungry for God. I said, God, I want to be filled with Spirit. I had already been filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with Spirit. But I had no training, no education on it. And then I came across the book that I had read. I said, I've done that. And then just right down on the inside of me, the Spirit of God said, well, just claim it. Okay, and I went back to praying in the Spirit. That is the difference between having knowledge and not having knowledge. You can have an experience and not have knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, then Satan can take it from you. I mean, he can literally shut you down because mentally you don't have enough knowledge to be able to connect the dots. Does that make sense? Somebody else lifted their hands. Somebody else. Did you? Somebody else lifted their hands. Okay, yes. Oh, you didn't have a question? Okay. Can I do something for a few minutes? Can I take a few minutes? We're still early. Can I take a few minutes? Okay. The rest of the way, I want to show you how to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, the rest of the way. Okay. Is simple. Ask ABC. ABC. A. And we're going to act it out. Okay. We're going to act it out. Okay. So you'll know. This is how I normally walk people. Because normally, if a person is born again, because all you have to do is born again hungry. I mean, we just want everything God got. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to be perfect, no perfect life, none of that stuff. Just got to be hungry for God. And I was hungry for God, okay? Now I learned that if I can walk people through it and help them through certain roadblocks, it's easy for them to be filled with the Spirit. So the first text that I take them to them is Luke chapter 11. Let me walk you through it, because I know some of you are going to walk out here and you're going to pray for folk to get filled with the Spirit. Okay, and then you're going to bring your testimony back. Look at Luke. This is the verse that I take people to when I'm prepping them to pray with them. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Now, notice it says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be what? Yeah. So I tell them, now the first key to being filled with the Spirit is you got to what? You got to what? You got to what? Now look at the next verse. For everyone that asks what? So how many going to receive? Everyone. So I'm telling the person, listen, this, everybody that asks, Jesus said this, if you ask, everyone that asks receives. Now, let me ask you a question. If you ask what's going to happen, what's going to happen to you according to Jesus? Okay, according to Jesus, if you ask, what's going to happen to you?
I'll receive.
Okay, according to Jesus, if you ask, you're going to what?
Receive.
Receive. Now watch the next verse. If a son should ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, next verse, will he give him a scorpion? Some people, they're afraid because they think, man, I don't want to get nothing bad. See, I don't want to get nothing bad. So you show them this scripture here to let them know that a good father will only give you what you ask for. If you want bread, he's not going to give you a rock. And if you want fish, he's not going to give you a snake. And if you want an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. So you don't have to be afraid that you're going to receive some wrong spirit. You don't have to be afraid because God said that. Look at the next verse. And then, if then you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's the first verse that I take them to. Because I want them to understand their role. I want to get rid of all fear. Because a lot of times people have fear because they've seen different things in churches and they've seen us act crazy and stuff like that. And so they don't want to act crazy, see. So they think that they're going to catch something. So you want to help people to not have that fear. Let's look at Mark 11, 24. Now, I walk them to, okay, this is how you cooperate. Therefore, I say unto you what things soever you desire. When you pray, do what? Believe you receive. So we're getting ready to pray now. But when we pray for you to get filled with the Spirit, you got to what? Believe that you receive. Now notice it then said, after you speak in tongues, it says, believe that you what?
Receive.
Believe that you what? Receive. So you're telling them, the moment you pray, you got to believe you receive before you speak in tongues, before you feel anything. Don't worry about that. Jesus said, believe you receive the moment you pray. Believe you got it before you pray. And Jesus said, you'll have it. Okay, now watch this. Look at Acts chapter 2. Let's go back to that again. They got to say something with the mouth. You got to help them with the mouth. You got to help them with the mouth. Now look at this text. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, what's highlighted. And they began to what? They began to? They began to what? They began to what? When they began, what happened? Y'all looking like I did in that class. It's right up there in the verse. They began to speak, then what happened? They began to speak, then what happened? The Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit gives utterance after you began to speak. A lot of people say, well, you know, they want the Holy Ghost to just take their mouth, open their mouth and just. No. The Bible said that they began to speak. So you got to open your mouth and initiate whatever you can. And then the Spirit of God going to give you utterance. Now, let me show you some scriptures because I like principles. I like principles because principles will help people. And if you walk them, if you take the time to walk them through, every person will get filled with the Spirit. I mean, every single person will get filled with the Spirit. So let's look at some other scriptures. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm almost finished. Look at this. Now, here's a principle helping people get filled with the Spirit. It says, howbeit that was not first. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 46. That is not first, which is what? Spiritual. But that which is natural. After that which is what? Now keep that up there. I want to explain this to you. Look at this for a moment. The context is this. The context is this, okay? That Adam, the natural man, came first, then Jesus. Now that's the context of the text. That Adam was natural and he was first in the earth. And then Jesus, who was spiritual, came. The principle, though, is that the natural is always first. The natural is what?
Always.
So I have to do something with my mouth that's natural. I don't wait for God to do something spiritual. I have to do something with my mouth and my tongue that's natural. And then the Bible says, then the spiritual will show up. Let me show you another verse. Look at Luke chapter 17. I prayed for a lady one time. And I pray for hundreds of people to get filled with spirit. But I prayed for a lady one time. She did this. I said, okay, I'm gonna pray for you. I prayed for her. And she went. And that's where a lot of people are. They want God to take their tongue and just twist their tongue and just say, I don't want it to be me. I want it to be God. I want it to be me. Watch this. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. It came to pass as they went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Luke 17, 12. As he entered to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Look at this. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So the 10 lepers were asking for healing, right? Watch this. Look at the next verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Watch this. And it came to pass that as they went, they were. God never does anything until we do act on something. God is never just going to do something. There's something that we have to win before he does. We got to do something before he does something. Now, let me show you a prophecy from Job, and we'll close right here. I saw this years ago, and I thought it was very prophetic. Listen to what Job says in Job 29, 21. Unto me, men give ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. So I always tell people now, we can't speak no more in English. We're going to pray in English and ask them to fill you with the Spirit after that. You can't talk in English and tongues at the same time. So the Bible says they spake not again, and when they spake not again, what happened? My speech dropped upon them. Got it? Now look at the next verse so we'll know that he's talking about the Spirit of God. They waited for me as for the rain, that's a type of the Holy Spirit, and they opened their mouth wide for the latter rain. So people have to open their mouths and they have to initiate whatever syllables that they can initiate. And when they first initiate the syllables, it's going to be them. Got it? It's going to be them. But the Bible says that his speech will drop on them. In other words, the Spirit will give them utterance. So you have to help people over this mental block of not wanting it to be them. Okay? It's going to be them initially. Does that make sense to you?